The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hi, this is Jerry Gotts, and welcome to Remnant Church Online. We hope that you'll find today's message challenging, full of hope, and most of all, practical. If you have questions, comments, or need a little more help on any of the issues that are raised by today's message, drop me a line at jerry@remnantchurchonline.com. Thanks a lot. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jerry Gotze.
Let's look at Romans chapter 3. Here's the stuff for today. Changing the rules, at Jerry Gotze, at Remnant Church, hashtag changing the rules, hashtag walk the line. Please, Instagram, all the stuff, all the social media, please use social media during the message. No playing Candy Crush or anything else, though. And no watching the football game. I know who to watch for that, so. Not saying who, just saying. Let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. And I love that verse. Let's go back to it. This is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? And that was some of the teaching of the day, that God was only the God of the Jews, that Gentiles were just short on luck. Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There's only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they're Jews or Gentiles. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Now there's a lot of stuff here today. We're going to talk about grace, and really kind of this whole series is about living in grace. How God loves us and he offers grace to us, but it's also about that balance between living in grace and taking advantage of grace. A friend of mine used to play for us, Dave Mullins used to say, I'm living on greasy grace, sliding my way to heaven. That's not the way it works. There's no greasy grace at work here. Okay, let's pray. Father God, thanks. You're so good to us and we love you. Father, I pray that you will do great things this morning. Open our hearts to hear from you. Thanks, God. We ask it in your name. Amen. Did you check that and see if it's, did you? No, the Periscope? Oh, okay, it's good. Thanks. That's right, Tommy checks that for me. If you've ever had cable TV, you've probably watched Superman 2 or at least seen it in the listings because they show it like a million times. It is not the most popular of the Superman franchise. For good reason, it's a really bad movie. But it's Superman. Now, I'm no fan of Superman. I'm a Batman guy myself. Batman, Iron Man, I like, you know, to me, Superman is just a dude from outer space. He came down and he's a bully from another planet. And he wears his underwear on the outside. I don't get it. Give me a guy with a cape and a utility belt. I'm good. This upcoming movie, Superman versus Batman, you know who I'm cheering for. I would make Superman a kryptonite omelet and serve it to him. Take that, Mr. Underwear Outside Guy. You know, this has absolutely nothing to do with the message. I just got off on a rant there. Sorry. As I have a tendency to do. Anyway, Superman 2. Superman and Lois Lane fall in love. Aww. Superman and Lois Lane, they're in love, but Superman decides that the only way this is going to work is if he gives up his power. And he's warned that if he gives up his power, he can never get it back. Never. Dun, dun, dun. Superman gives up his power. Lois Lane falls in love. They head to the Fortress of Solitude and have premarital sex. Oh, I didn't think about it that way, did you? Ah, see? Ruins the love story. So he's a bully from another planet, and he takes advantage of women. You can't like Superman. Just saying. Unfortunately, with Superman and Lois Lane in their bliss, what they don't realize is that people have come, other people from another planet. I don't remember if they wear their underwear on the outside or not, but there are other people from another planet, and they start wreaking havoc, and they take over the White House. Oh, you can't let this stand. Superman goes, I'll help. Oh, that's right, I can't. No more X-ray vision. No more underwear outside. No more. What am I going to do? Now, the writers of the movie have painted themselves in a corner, haven't they? Superman can't get his planet, can't get his powers back. You can never get your powers back. Never. Guess what? He got his powers back. In the middle of the movie, they change the rules. That's not fair. That's like watching an NFL game and trying to figure out what a catch is. I don't even know what a catch is anymore. I have no idea. They change the rules. Superman comes and he saves the day, standing for truth, justice, and the American way. The last thing Superman says in the movie is, Mr. President, I'll never leave you again. Put your underwear on the inside of your pants. Anyway. In the middle of the movie, they change the rules and they let Superman off the hook. I got news for you. That's what grace is. In the middle of your life, God changes the rules. Now, this is kind of cool if you think about it. In the Old Testament, we see grace. We see it in the life of Christ. We see it all throughout the New Testament, especially in the writings of Paul. But we first, before we really talk about grace, we need to have a definition. So I was going through some of my books, and believe it or not, this is the definition I found in one of my books. This is the definition of grace. Grace is the eternal and absolute free favor of God manifested in the vouchsafement. That's honestly a word. Somebody wrote that word somewhere, vouchsafement, of spiritual and eternal blessings to the guilty and the unworthy. Anybody here want to try and boil that down into like regular people words? Now, most of us, anybody here use the word vouchsafement this week? This calendar year? In your life, you ever use the word vouchsafement? So here's really... Maybe here's the definition we can get behind all of us together. God changed the rules in the middle of the story to let you off the hook. I think we can get that. No word vouchsafement is used here. No theologians were hurt in the making of this message. The law was established in the Old Testament to give us a standard by which to live. It gave us a set of ground rules. Unfortunately, nobody could live by the law. The law was really, really tough. Look at Ezekiel 18:20. This sums up the law. It says, the person who sins is the one who will die. Well, there's a happy thought. Anybody here to sin this week? Some of you sinned just now. He's like, no. Pastor, no, I did not sin this week whatsoever. Liars. Anyway, the person who sins is the one who died. The child will not be punished for the parent's sins, and the parent will not be punished for the child's sins. Righteous people will be rewarded for their own righteous behavior, and wicked people will be punished for their own wickedness. Sing with me. Oh, happy day. And by the way, this includes all of us. Romans 3:23 says, for everyone has sinned. So let me ask you again. Anybody here sin this week? Okay, that's... Now we're on the same page. Everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. So God set up a standard for us to live by, and none of us could do it. None of us could live by the law. So God changed the rules. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross and show us all grace and mercy. So let's talk about what grace is. Number one, grace is free. You can't help little ladies across the street and earn grace. You can't, you know, earn your merit badge in grace. You can't sell enough cookies to earn grace. Grace is free. Romans 3, 23 and 24, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And then Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Paul says, look, grace is a free gift. Absolutely, positively free. How much does a free gift cost? Nothing. Some of you are not real good on math. Okay. If it's free, it don't cost nothing. Years ago, there was a TV show called The Millionaire. And the millionaire would write a check for $1 million. Nobody knew who he was. We never saw the guy's face. And he would give people a check for $1 million. And the people, and it was no strings attached. Here's $1 million. Do with it whatever you want. And people would look at it and say, okay, come on, what's, you know, am I on candid camera? Okay, for you, those of you under 40, candid camera used to be a TV show. You know, as I get older, there are fewer references for people that are not older, more aged, more mature as myself. They never could quite grasp that somebody would give them $1 million with no strings attached. They kept looking for it. That's, surely it's a lure. It's, you know, is this one of those timeshare things? We went to one of those one time. Man, it was not good because about 20 minutes into it, I was ready to suck this guy in the eye, and I was pretty sure that wasn't a godly thing to do. But I think God might have understood. Because this guy was just really pouring it on. Finally, he looks at his wife and says, does your husband just think you don't deserve a vacation? No, I think my husband thinks that he doesn't deserve to pay for something this goofy. The gift, the only one they give you the free gift, we got a cordless phone. That was huge back then. Cordless phone. Tells you how long ago it was. A cordless phone. First one we'd ever had. If you were within 3 feet of the base station, it was cordless. If a wall or a mosquito or something got between you and the base station, it was no longer cordless. You had to go stand near it because it didn't have much of a range. It had a long antenna on it. Oh, yeah. Ooh, you're styling and profiling. Here's the thing. God offers the free gift of forgiveness to you, the gift of forgiveness to you absolutely free. It's not a trick. It's not a lure, it's a free gift. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. It's free. You want to be forgiven? You want to have an intimate relationship with God? You want to be able to stand before him absolutely clean? Welcome to grace. That's what grace offers us. And it can start today. Understand, I don't care who you were when you walked in those doors back there. I don't care. And God doesn't either. What he's telling you today is, my gift of grace is free to you. You can be forgiven of your sins today, right this minute. In fact, you don't even have to wait till the end of the message. You know, if you want to jump protocol, you can ask God to forgive you your sins right now. Granted, you know, it's not the way we normally do things, but hey, if you want to, you know, it's okay. Isn't that amazing? You know, we think that somehow we've got to do something. You know, I've got to have the right posture. And yes, Lord, I've got to say the right things. And I've got to use that voice. Just drive me crazy. You want God's forgiveness? Here's what you do. God, forgive me. Not easy. I like simple. I'm a simple guy. I like simple. Let me tell you two things you need to be aware of. First of all, asking for God's gift of forgiveness is an admission of guilt. If you don't think you've sinned, you can't get grace. Should I ask you to raise your hands again? Because some of you like missed out on it twice. There's an old joke about a preacher talking to a Sunday school class, and he says, now, what do we need to do to be forgiven of our sins? And one little kid said, well, first you have to sin. Asking for God's grace is basically saying, I've done that first part. I've sinned. You know, there are people who won't admit that. They won't call it a sin. Oh, I didn't sin, Pastor. I made a mistake. Really? You know, you kind of leave a turn early on a stoplight. That might have been a mistake. You forgot to see the stop sign. You kind of rolled through it. That might be a mistake. You do 100 miles an hour down the freeway, twisting yourself in and out of traffic because you're in a hurry to get to Walmart because they got a sale. You sin, okay? Sin is consciously making a decision to do something wrong. And we do it all the time, let's be honest. We lie to get out of trouble. We say things we don't mean. We say things that are mean. We say things that we shouldn't say. And we try and explain it all away. Asking God for his gift of grace is saying, you know what? Let's be honest about this. I've sinned. Not, well, I've kind of not been really good. No, you've sinned. You ready to say that? God, I've sinned. I sinned. I messed up. When I was teaching school, I used to tell my students, if I come and ask you a question about whether or not, like, you've cheated on a test, I already know the answer. I know you cheated. I'm giving you a chance to fess up and come correct. And if you lie to me, the consequences are worse. Did you cheat on this test? Yes, Mr. Godsey, I did. You're still going to get in trouble. Understand, sin has consequences. The thing about grace is it erases that sin. It takes it away. That's the difference between me and God. Second thing about it, asking for God's free gift of forgiveness is an admission of helplessness. Oh, see, now it really hurts, huh? Nobody wants to admit they're helpless. Got a newborn baby, can't feed himself, can't change his own diaper. Only thing he can do is cry. He's helpless. And when you go to God and ask for forgiveness, you're saying, God, I'm helpless against sin. I can't. I have not been able to overcome this. Help me. It's your goodness in me that makes me being sinless possible. And here's the great thing about it. When we rely on God's grace, when we learn to live in God's grace, we also learn that we don't have to sin. God gives us grace. God helps us. It's not like grace is coming to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, if you let me off the hook this time, I'll make it up to you later.
You ever do that? No, of course, none of you ever do. I know, you're perfect. I know. I got it. I mean, some of you never even sin, so I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. No, coming to God for forgiveness is saying, Lord, I'm asking you to let me off the hook, even though there's no way I'll ever be able to make this up to you. If you can come to God with that humility, if you can come to God and lay yourself at his altar and accept his grace, your life will be better. You'll be forgiven of your sins. You'll go from headed for hell to headed for heaven. It's a pretty good trade. Over and over again, we see this in the New Testament. Romans 11, 6 says, and since it's through God's kindness, then it's not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. See, if you come over to my house and work on my car and I give you $20 for working on my car, I didn't give you anything. I paid you. And so if somehow we can earn God's grace, then it's not free and undeserved, is it? That's why you can't do anything to deserve God's grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, we read it a minute ago. For by grace you have been saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. You'll never be able to do anything to deserve God's forgiveness. But you can receive it. All you have to do is ask. Don't get that twisted, because there are some places that will try to tell you that you can get God's grace if you live this way. And that's not what God's grace is. Now, with God's grace and learning to live in God's grace, some things change in your life. We'll talk about that in a little bit. It's not like saying, okay, I'm going to get God's grace. I'm going to keep sinning. No, it doesn't work that way. Here's the second thing you need to know about God's grace. Grace is big. My son Critter and I were driving down the freeway one day, and we were listening to Jim Rome. And Jim Rome was sponsored by Campbell's Soup or something, and he said, soup is huge. Actually, Jim, soup is huge. And Critter and I still joke about that. Every now and then I'll just text him in the middle of something. Soup is huge. Maybe I should have done that. Grace is huge. Look at verse 22. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. Grace is big. By the way, where else but Remnant are you going to hear a Jim Rome quote and Superman 2 in the same sermon? This is it right here. How big is grace? It's big enough to wipe out the sins of the whole world. Think about that. Not only just the whole world this minute, but the whole world of everybody that's ever lived and who will ever live. That's how big grace is. There's no limit to it. It just goes on and on. It's like the tax code. It just goes on and on. No. Jesus came to John the Baptist to be baptized, and John says, wait a second, not me. I'm not baptizing you. You ought to baptize me. He says, no, we got to do this. John 1:29, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of what? The world. In fact, one of my messages during the identification series at Christmas time was the Lamb of God. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's important for you to know that God's grace is even big enough to wipe out your sins. See, we get caught up in that corporate thing, don't we? That whole, well, yes, the sins of the world are taken away by God. Of course, mine can't be. Really? So God's grace is big enough to take away everybody's sins but yours. Are you special? And we wouldn't put it that way. Well, not, I don't think I'm special. Yeah, you do. If you think that God's grace is big enough to cover your sin, are you telling me that you're more important than everybody else in the whole world, that somehow you've got some special thing going on? God's grace covers you. He loves you. You, you and you and you and you. God's grace is big enough to cover you. Don't get lost in the crowd. Personalize this. In fact, read this. Read it for me this way. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of Jerry Godsey. Go ahead. Read it out loud right now, but put your name in it. Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of... I state your name. Grace is big enough to cover lying, cheating, adultery, murder, gossip, backbiting, jealousy, lust, pride, greed, hate, envy, any other sin you can think of. God's grace is big. It covers big sins. It covers little sins. You ever do a little sin and think, well, you know, it's not a big deal. Is it a sin? Then it's a big deal. And God's grace covers it. It covers the sins we commit occasionally and the sins we commit daily. When we keep losing the battle, God's grace covers us. All we have to do is ask. Some of you are facing that right now. You have a sin that you keep committing. It could be lying, could be gossiping, could be a sexual sin, could be a very personal sin that you're never going to tell anybody about. God's grace covers it. And every time you do it, God's grace covers it. Now, don't get comfortable in that, though. Again, that's that whole balance, isn't it? That's what we call this series, Walk the Line. Walking that line between understanding that God's grace covers it and also thinking that God's grace will cover it no matter what you do. And just saying, well, I'll go ahead and do it and then, you know, ask God to forgive me. See the difference? Matthew 18:21, Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? See, because there are some of us that think that once we've done something a few times that God can't forgive us anymore. And that is the devil just pushing at you. I guarantee you there are some of you right here, right now, who feel like they can't serve at Remnant. Well, I can't teach Sunday school, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. I can't be part of a Bible study. I mean, look what I do. Look at my sin. And I'm here to tell you that God's grace covers that. God's grace covers that. So, when Peter came to Jesus and said, okay, I'm going to forgive this guy 7 times, up to 7 times, because when he gets to 8, he's getting a sock in the eye, God. Okay, I mean, 7's enough. 7 was considered the perfect number. Okay, 7's perfect. You get to 8, it's on, baby. But Jesus told Peter, not 7 times, how about 70 times 7? And can you imagine? It must have been like one of those cartoons, those old Bugs Bunny cartoons, you know, where the eye is like, boom! In fact, book of Luke, Jesus said, Luke 17:4, if your brother sins against 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, suck him in the eye. Oh, that's not what it says. I get carried away sometimes. It says, forgive him. 7 times. This guy has stepped on my foot 7 times a day, and he keeps asking me to forgive him, and I have to keep forgiving him. 7 times this person has been mean to me today, and I got to keep forgiving them. 7 times a day they've done this, and I've got to keep forgiving them. And the idea here is that you don't get to 7 and then, you know, look for a chance to sock them. You look for 7, and then you start looking at another 7 times of forgiving them. And it's a cycle that goes on and on in your life. Why? Because that's the way God works. Now, here's the thing. If God says that you have to forgive 70 times 7, or God says you have to forgive 7 times, do you think he's not going to follow that rule? Do you think God's going to expect you to do something he doesn't do? So, let me ask you this. If you sin and ask God to forgive you, how many times will he forgive you? 7 times. And when you get to 8, he starts all over again. Yeah, no suck in the eye. He starts all over again. We try to cheapen God's grace by limiting it. In the early days of the church, it was believed that any vow you took during your baptism was an unbreakable vow. And if you broke that vow, you couldn't be forgiven. So they would wait to get baptized until they're older. They had their chance to pursue all their lusts and have their, you know, sow their wild oats. Okay, I'm old and decrepit, you know, like me. And so now I'll go get baptized because now I can live by the oath. If I was gonna take an oath, I'd just say I promise to drink more Coke Zero this year. That was my New Year's resolution. I try to make ones that are easy that I know I can fulfill. I promise to drink at least one Coke Zero every day. So far, what's today, the 9th? 10th, doing good. I'm on track. Yay me. God's work of grace doesn't culminate at salvation. It begins at salvation. His grace is big enough to see us through, even though we may fall along the way. Look, God's grace is big. Third thing, God's grace is strong. Wow. The theological term, for those of you who wanted to know, the theological term is efficacious. It's efficacious, which means having the power to produce the desired effect. God's grace is the power for the desired effect in your life. What's God's desired effect in your life? Forgiveness. For you to be close to Him. To remove the sin that separates you. That's all God wants out of you. Is for your life and His life to be together. Look at Romans 3:31. Well then, if we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Of course not. In fact, only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. And then Romans 6, which we'll get to in a few weeks, I'm sure, for sin will have no dominion over you since you are not under law but under grace. God's ideal for us hasn't changed. He wants us to be holy, but we can't do it on our own. We can't do it without His help. His grace is strong. It has the power to produce the desired change in our lives. Not only does God's grace save you, it keeps you. And that is huge. Look, not only does God's grace forgive your sins, it has the power to keep you from sinning. It has the power to give you control over parts of your life that you thought you were helpless over. And God's grace comes in and says, hey, we're okay. Let's work on this together. Remember the story of the millionaire? The $1 million was always free, but it always produced changes in the lives of the people. If somebody walked up and gave you $1 million, would you go to work tomorrow? You might, just to say goodbye. Hey, you know that job I have? You can keep it. Hasta luego, vengo con Dios, your mama's a llama, I'm out of here. God's grace is like corrective surgery. We are helpless, but God gives us grace, and His grace changes what we can't change. Now, like I said, over the years, God's grace has kind of taken a heat, been in a battle because people think, okay, well, I love to sin, and God loves to forgive sin, so we're both happy. And God says, no. In fact, in the early days of the church, there was a move called Gnosticism. It was a heresy. And basically, Gnosticism said that the body and the spirit were separate. Okay, that the spirit belonged to God, but the body was the devil's playground. And so whatever sin your body did didn't count against your spirit. So basically, you could sin all you wanted to because it was just your body sinning, not your spirit. Guess what doesn't work? You're a package deal. The same God that forgives you your sin also forbids you to sin. You with me? God says, I'll forgive you when you sin. By the way, I don't want you to sin. That's grace. Because let's go one step further. God says, I'll forgive you your sin. I don't want you to sin. Here's the power you need to not sin anymore. And I know everyone you thought right then, well, I don't think I'll ever get to the place where I don't sin anymore. Okay. How about not sinning as much? I love the story of the Chicago preacher, and I've told you before. He was working in the inner city in Chicago, and a gang member who'd been coming to his church came up to him and said, hey, pastor, I got to tell you, this God thing works. I only shot at 10 people this month. True story. It was Brian Craig Larson. And Larson said, I didn't know whether to tell him, it's good that you're cutting down. Or, well, you know, you really shouldn't shoot at anybody. But for him, he was happy because it was better. Sometimes it's baby steps. Only shot people 10 times this month. Good on you. Is that like below average for you? I mean, what's your peer group like, you know? Romans 6:1 says, should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who died to sin, go on living in it? To suggest that God's grace somehow encourages you to sin is an admission that you don't know anything about grace. If you think that because God gives grace freely, that means you can do whatever you want and get by with it, you don't understand how grace comes about. A preacher once said, because of God's grace, I sin all I want. And the whole church looked at him like, you're looking at me right now. Oh, wait, this is good news. We can sin all we want. Then he said, in fact, because of grace, God's grace, I sin more than I want. See the difference? Because of God's grace, I can sin all I want to. But because of God's grace, I sin so much more than I want to. Because you don't want to let God down. I love my wife. We've been married 34 years. Love her like crazy. Never committed adultery on her. She said one time, well, you know, maybe you'll find somebody better. I said, look, baby, you got steak at home. You don't go looking for hot dogs. But you know why I don't commit adultery? Not because I'm afraid of her, although I am. I'm not stupid. We have guns and sharp knives in our house. I think she knows how to use them. I'm not hedging my bets. The reason I don't commit adultery has so much to do with the fact that I cannot imagine looking at this woman I love and telling her, I have betrayed you in the most horrible way possible. I can't imagine breaking her heart. I can't imagine looking in the mirror and seeing the face of a guy who would do that to somebody who loves him this much. When we look at our sin, when we fully understand grace, that's how we think about sin. We say, I could go do this, but I don't want to break God's heart. I could do this, but I don't want to look in the mirror and see the person that would do that to God. I love God's grace. And I love it too much to abuse it. God's grace is strong. It has the power to change us. And it will if we let it. If we let it. So where are you this morning? God's grace is here. It's free. Are you ready to accept it? Can you really get to the point where you're able to say, God loves me so much, he's going to forgive me my sins? Some of you, it's a personal thing. I think, yeah, but you know what? I got to quit doing some things, and then I can come get God's forgiveness. Really? Do you clean up before you take a bath? You say, well, I can't get in the tub. I'm dirty. That's kind of what it's for. It's got a hole in the bottom. All the stuff drains out. My grandmother, who I miss like crazy, my grandma, when she would stay at a hotel with my grandpa, she would make the bed before the maid came. And I would tell her, Grandma, why are you doing that? She said, because I don't want the maid to think, you know, we're messy. Said, Grandma, you slept in the bed. That's kind of what it's for. Nope, just make the so the maid had to come and strip a made bed. She must have thought, these people didn't sleep here last night. Look, God understands your life is messy. God understands you've made mistakes. That's why he sent his son Jesus to die for you. God understands that you have some issues that he needs to help you fix, and you can't do it on your own. If you could do it on your own, Jesus didn't have to die on the cross. If you could do it on your own, you would have. So instead, God comes to you and says, look, I'm going to forgive you lock, stock, and barrel. Everything. Bring everything you got to me. All your dirty laundry, all your horrible sins, all your things that you don't think anybody else knows about, bring it here. Because my grace covers it. My grace is enough. It's big. It's strong. It'll take care of anything you got. I know. Well, but Pastor, you don't understand. Yeah, I do. Because I know what God's forgiven me of. I will tell you that God has forgiven me things of that you will never know about me. And I'm never going to tell you. There's a great thing about forgiveness that puts all our sins in the past and buries them under the blood of Jesus. And I got some stuff, that's where it needs to stay. And don't get cocky, so do you. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus told the story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. Now, the Pharisees were supposed to be the religious folk of the day. They're supposed to be, you know, the hot-to-trot guys. And the one Pharisee is praying, Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not sinners like everybody else. I don't know why he has a Texas accent. I don't understand that, but that's the way he came out. And I'm thankful that, I'm not a tax collector like this moron over here. And Lord, I'm thankful that I'm not a person like this and I'm not a person like that. In fact, ladies, you'll love to hear this. One of the prayers the Pharisees would pray would also say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not a woman. Oh, see, now everyone would be like, oh, I hate this guy. This guy can't die soon enough in this story. Well, he doesn't die, so don't get excited. He reminds God of how good he is. Oh, Lord, I fast and I tithe. In fact, Lord, I gave a lot of money right as I came in, so hallelujah to me. Meanwhile, here's the tax collector. He can't pray that prayer. He understands that he is lost. He understands there's nothing good in him. And he prays. And instead of, in fact, he is so overcome with his sin, he doesn't feel like he can lift his eyes to heaven to pray. He's got his head down and he's praying, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And Jesus asks, okay, guys, who's justified? Who's forgiven? Who has God's grace? Now, based on the way the system was that time, they all would say, oh, the Pharisee, because he's the better guy. Jesus says, no. The tax collector is the one who's forgiven. Make no mistake about it. If you're going to come to God and tell him how good you are, you don't understand. First of all, you don't understand sin. Second of all, you don't understand God's grace. God's grace is not predicated on how good you are. It's all about how good God is. This morning, you need to come to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. See, the world believes that God helps those who help themselves. But God's grace teaches us that God helps those who can't help themselves. The world believes that God's attitude toward us is one of stern disapproval, and he's ready to blast us into hell at every chance he gets. God's grace says that God's attitude toward us is one of love and acceptance and forgiveness. The world believes that God's mercy has limitations. God's grace teaches us that God's mercy is unlimited. His grace is free, it's big, it's strong, and it's ready for you. Please bow your heads, close your eyes.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.